Hallelujah. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we want to thank you for your presence in this place this morning. We, as your people, we are gathered unto you to be taught by your Spirit. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit himself will teach us this morning in Jesus' name. We want to be able, at the end of today's teaching, to take up the characters of Jesus. Because we are praying to become like him. Therefore, Lord, you will transform our lives from today in Jesus' name. We will indeed become like Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So we are looking at God the Son. Part 4. We are looking at his character. We have looked at different aspects of God the Son. How many of us can remember, please? Let's get settled. And it will be good if the adults can come to the front. And the ushers take care of the children. Praise God. And as we were saying, we've looked at different aspects of God the Son. And last week, we looked at a specific aspect. Who can remind me of what aspect of God the Son we looked at last week? Let's be quick. We don't have so much time on our hands. I will try as much as possible so we finish by the Sunday school by 10:30. Huh? His person... His priesthood, praise the Lord. We looked at his priesthood. So what did we say about his priesthood? It's an everlasting priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, praise the Lord. In other words, as to the priesthood of Jesus, there will be no end. What does that mean? That means that, let me quickly explain to us. If you remember in the Old Testament, when the father is a priest, what happens to the children? Eh? When the father is a priest, what happens to his children? The children become priests too. And for many of these families, God was not pleased. And we had times when God will come and say to a family and say, look, I thought or I've said you are going to be priests before me forever. But because of your behavior, I've changed my mind and you are no longer a priest. But in the case of Jesus, his priesthood is everlasting. So everyone that is born of Jesus will be then become a priest forever. Praise the Lord. So that God never usurps him or dethrones him from his priesthood. So you and I become priests. We read Revelation chapter 1 verse 6 and Revelation chapter 5 verse 10 telling us about our priesthood. Praise the Lord. What did we say about the priesthood of Jesus? What else did we say about the priesthood of Jesus? It ministers life. Life. Praise the Lord. We are called to minister life and hope to people. Because that's what Jesus came to do. Yes, what is about his priesthood? Quickly, I don't have it with me. Minister reconciliation. Praise the Lord. Reconciling man back to God. reconciling man back to God. And he's still doing it right now. That is why if somebody chooses to give their life to Christ today, they become reconciled to God. We also said he does something else. Praise the Lord. Continually, offering sacrifice unto the Lord. Because every high priest must have something to offer to the Lord. And we said nothing else will do but the blood of Jesus. And he gave his blood. And that blood is still relevant today. That blood is still relevant today. That is why we can call upon the name of Jesus and something will happen. Because there is a sacrifice that has been rendered unto God. And in our own case, as priests, Hebrew tells us that every high priest must have something to offer to God. You and I must have something we offer to God. What do we offer to God? Our praise, our worship, our substance, and what? And our bodies. He said, I beseech you, brethren, offer your bodies as what? A living sacrifice. So every priest must have something to offer. What have you got to offer God? What are you offering God? Can you remember some people offered God something and they died? Because they offered strange fire. They were priests, but they offered strange fire. You will not offer strange fire unto the Lord in Jesus' name. So, that was the priesthood of Jesus. Today we are looking at his character. So we quickly take a look at a few things. Of course, we have dealt extensively with who God the Son is. But one thing I want us to know is that God's desire is that we become like his Son. How many of us have seen people? Maybe young people. When they behave, they say, oh, it's definitely they are the sons or the daughters of so-and-so person. He behaves like him. He behaves like her. Or she behaves like her. They behave according to their family behavior. I remember this movie. It's a secular movie. Coming to America. How many of us remember Coming to America? Eh? Eddie Murphy. Praise the Lord. What happened? Eddie Murphy, as a prince, left to go to America with one of the servants. Right? Did Eddie Murphy tell people he was a prince? Was his behavior different from that of the servant? Markedly different. You will see his courage. It was just all over him. He didn't have to tell anyone. Even though he was going to do dirty things, you know, whatever. But his work did not define him. If I remember, was he going to wash plates in restaurants and doing things? Eh? He was doing cleaning. But do you see that the behavior of a prince was in him all along? So that your current situation does not define you. The behavior of a prince and that of a princess need to radiate out of us. You are not defined. Look, even if you are not yet the chief executive of a company, you can still behave like a prince and a princess. That, you see, when we watch, we can watch the same thing. It ministers different things to us. That is one of the things I learned from that movie. It's not just the laughter and this thing. But you can see that a king's blood was in him. I want to let you know that the king's blood is in you. And you need to carry yourself that way. Because in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, according, let me read Amplify. I always love Amplify version. It says, even as in his love, he chose us, that is, actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, and set apart for him, and blameless in his sight, even above reproach before him in what? In love. Praise the Lord. We have been what? Set apart. We are different. I've been telling people, when they say, oh, as Christians, you mustn't, you see, you make people feel bad when we try to be holier than thou. You set yourself aside. You don't want to mix with people. You don't want to do this with them. You don't want to do that with them. And I say, that is not true. We are actually set apart. The church is working hard to be like the world, when the world should be working hard to be like the church. If somebody look like they are not converted today, that does not mean they are not going to be converted. We think it's only when people rush, and that's why there are a lot of people in the church today who are not converted. Did you hear that? I said there are many people in the church today who are not converted. Peter had been walking with Jesus for how long? For so long. And yet, what did Jesus say to him? He said, I pray for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. So there are a lot of people in church who are not converted. By the grace of God, when we listen to this sermon, I believe God is going to do something in our lives in Jesus' name. So God wants us to be like Jesus. Let's look at some of the things, some attributes of Jesus. Let's quickly look at some of those things that we could see in Jesus that we have to emulate. Jesus had a unity of purpose with the Father. What is unity? Another word for unity. Can people just give me maybe 3-4 words that means unity? Togetherness, yes, that's another word. Cooperation, yes. Agreement, yes. Another word? Yes, love, yes. Oneness. Praise the Lord. So, Jesus had a unity of purpose with God, with the Father. Jesus's agenda was not different from the agenda of the Father. When we come to church, our agenda must be the same agenda as that of who? Of the Father. If we are going to be like Jesus, if we want to emulate Jesus, do you know that many people come to church for different reasons? For different agendas? I think I shared with us briefly the other time that there was a man who was coming to this church. As soon as he came, I told my wife, I said, this man has an agenda. I said, I know he's coming to look for women. How do I know? Because I know, praise the Lord. I have the Spirit of the Almighty God. And so we were thank God for the women in this church. Most of them are married. They are comfortable. They are contented. So I know they are not people who are like this. So we kept an eye on him. And it was a matter of time when he started to manifest himself. Until one day, because he didn't get anyone in this church, he went and got one woman. This man has been married and said he's divorced his wife. And I asked him, what did your wife do wrong? Did she commit adultery? He said, no. If she didn't commit adultery, as a child of God, you cannot. And I said, the word of God said, now you will know a true child of God. Do you know what he said? As I said, the word of God said, he said, what's the word of God? We had this man as one of those praying for the church. God forgive us. He couldn't have prayed and God will answer his prayer for the church Because his heart was not right. So people have agenda. But our own agenda must be God's agenda. Any agenda that's different from that. Some people go to church for business. Because they know that is where you do what? You get business. If we have some business people here, people will come. Because they can meet that man. And that man will do what? Will favor them. Will give them contract. Will do something. That is not God's purpose. We must have a unity of purpose with God. The same purpose with God. And then, something happens. God will then bless you in the process. Praise the Lord. Now, let's quickly look at a few of those. Let's look at John chapter 5, verse 43 to 44. John chapter 5, yes?
And do not seek the honor that comes from the only God.
Praise the Lord. I seek the honor that comes from the only God. That's what we should be doing. Seeking the honor that comes from the only God. Let's quickly look at Luke chapter 12 verse 32. It is your Father's what? Good pleasure to do what? To give you the kingdom. If our agenda is the same as God, then God will be what? Will be pleased with us. And then it becomes his pleasure to give us what? The kingdom. Now let me tell you something. That is why many of us will strive and strive and strive and we say we are not getting it. Until our agenda is the same. God will give us. He who is faithful in a small thing can then be entrusted with the bigger things of the kingdom. God wants to see our faithfulness. Praise the Lord. The other thing is that Jesus was dedicated to the one thing mattered more to the Son than to see the kingdom of the Father established on earth. Let's look at Matthew 6:10. So Jesus said, if you are praying, let God know your desire. And your desire should be that God's kingdom come on earth. How do you know when God's kingdom come on earth? How will you know? Okay, let me ask in another way. How do you know when a particular country or a ruler rules in a particular place? How do you know? How do you know that this person is being ruled by, is ruling this place, and that person is ruling that place? How will you know? Eh? By the things they do. In other words, the laws of the land will tell you who is in charge. The so-called Francophone countries are different from the British countries. All the places that the British countries colonize, they are quite different from the Francophone countries. Why? The way of life, the culture, the attitude, the courage, are they not different? They are different. I had the opportunity of going to Paris, and I've been to see other one or two countries in Europe. And when I got there, you can see the French, they are so different. You will know who is in charge, who is ruling, by the culture and the law that is enforced. So how do you know that God's kingdom has come into somebody's life? Eh? Who rules them? What word they are obedient to? Amen. Amen. You know what? Some of us are ruled by the law of what's the name of this woman? Eh? This woman that on talk show, Oprah Winfrey. what she says is the gospel. That's what some people will do. It's not what God says. We will know who is ruling your life by the way you rule. It's not what you say. It's not even what you know. It is what you do. Praise the Lord. So, Jesus had the same purpose with the Father. He was dedicated to the work of the kingdom. Matthew 4:23. What was he doing? He went about praise the Lord. Okay. We'll get there. Love for sinners. Jesus loved sinners. But Jesus did not love their sins. Oh. So if you are doing the same thing as people who are not born again, not regenerated, and they ask you why, you say it is because you want to draw them to Christ. That is not true. Or maybe the young ones amongst us who are not yet married, you better hear this. When it is time for you to marry, and you go and marry a boy that is not saved, that is not a Christian, and they ask you, you say, maybe you are hoping that they will become converted. That is not true. Jesus loves sinners, but not their sin. You are not going to partake of their sin. In fact, when you sin their sin, it will grieve you. And when it grieves you, your desire is for them to leave what they are doing, not joining them. Because people will say, Jesus, you know, ate with sinners. And my question to them is this: tell me one single sinner that Jesus met that remained the same. Everyone that Jesus met, what happened to them? They got converted. If you are joining people to do evil and say, well, but after all, Jesus mixed and fellowship and ate with sinners, it is not true. People get it wrong. God will help us in Jesus' name. We are looking at his characters. John 3:16 tells us of his love. Or maybe you can look at John 3:17. His love for sinners is in John 3:16. He said, 17 says, for God sent not his word into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Praise God. Other thing about the character of Jesus is that he had hatred for what? For sin. And what? Especially hypocrisy. What's hypocrisy? Someone rightly said Jesus loves sinner but hates sin. The word hypocrisy means a behavior in which somebody pretends to have moral standard that they do not actually have. In other words, somebody who talk the talk and never walk the walk. You talk the talk and you don't walk the walk. That is hypocrisy. Anyone can preach, I'm telling you. Anyone can do what? Can preach. Everyone can preach. Where the issue is the way you live. And I'm telling you, that is why some preachers cannot preach certain messages. You dare not. Because people know who you are. You preach that message, people are on the lookout. They are waiting to see the contradiction in your life. From today, that will change for the better in Jesus' name. Because Jesus just hated sin. And it was evident in his life. You see, the way Jesus lived his life and what he said, there was no confusion, contradiction of any type. Let's look at Job 20 verse 5. Job chapter 20 verse 5. I will give you an example of contradictions that we're talking about. Example, I've said it over and over again. The triumphing of the what? Of the wicked is short. And what? The joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. How do you know when somebody is a hypocrite? I've told us that all of us are good Christians. Praise the Lord. How many good Christians are here? All of us. Okay, oh, praise the Lord. The day you will know you are a good Christian is the day something tests you. Somebody gets you angry. The way you react will tell whether you're a good Christian or not. The day you are in dire need of something, what you are willing to do to get that thing will tell whether you are a good Christian or not. The day your prayer has not been answered will tell whether you are a good Christian or not. The day your mates are being promoted and you are yet to be promoted, that will tell whether you are a good Christian or not. The day people come to church and they change clothes, wearing different clothes, and you have nothing to wear, that is the day you will know whether you are a good Christian or not. The day God blesses you and your barn is overflowing with plenty, that day you will know whether you are a good Christian or not. Praise the Lord. In other words, situation that challenge you is what will determine whether you are a good Christian or not. We are all what? Good Christians. Until something happens. But you are a good Christian when something that challenges you happens and you still maintain your profession. When I say your profession, it's not that Jesus is Lord. You have preached forgiveness to others before. But when something now happens to you and touch your, in other words, what you have said, you have applied it to yourself. That is a good Christian. God will help us in Jesus' name. Anything short of that. So when your own situation comes, you now say, but you see, mine is different from that situation. That's hypocrisy. They say, but you know the word of God. You have even said it. You see, I tell husband, I said, look, you better follow God day and night and be consistent. Do you know why? If you are not consistent, one day, maybe you and your wife now quarrel because nobody will know you like your wife. All along, he knows you are one leg in, one leg out. He knows all your hypocrisy. And then one day, something happens between you and your wife. And you say, honey, bring the Bible. You see, the Bible says we must not be this, you must be. She will just lift her nose at you. And say, today, you know the Bible. All along, you didn't know the Bible. Today, because there's something, you now know the Bible. You have to be consistent. When you are consistent, your wife will know it. If you then say, darling, bring the Bible. You see, the Bible says you must honor your husband. She will say, okay, that's true. But if she knows that you are like this, and then you bring the Bible and say, darling, let's look at the Bible. She will just look at you. Because we are quarreling, you brought the Bible to me. She will not listen to you. Praise the Lord. Jesus showed compassion for the afflicted and the infirm. We are looking at the characters of Jesus. And that love, we can read some of these passages at home. That love was manifest in everything he did. When he fed the 5,000, the Bible said he was moved with what? With compassion. That was what, if you don't have compassion and you say you are a child of God, then you cannot be his, you know? You cannot say you are the child of God. Because that same God says, You must pray for your what? Your enemies. I was reading Psalm 34 through to 37 yesterday. And one of the things that King David said was that, look, even when his enemy was suffering, he did not rejoice. In other words, he still had compassion. We cannot say we are disciples of Jesus. There are people who rejoice when other people have misfortune. That is not Jesus-like. When you rejoice because somebody has misfortune, then that cannot be Jesus. Jesus had compassion. For example, if my children have done something wrong, I correct them. But I don't get happy because they fall down and bruise their heels or something. They break their bone or something. Because I truly love my children. And I'm telling you, I would scold them. I would say what I want to say to them when they've offended me. But maybe 5 minutes after, they then go to somewhere and they fall down or break their bone. And I say, hey, God catch you. This is good. That's not Jesus. If you cannot do it to your children, how can you do it to a fellow Christian? That you rejoice when something bad happens to people. It's not Christ-like. He showed compassion. Praise the Lord. Jesus depended on heaven and heavenly resources. Look, wherever God takes you to, if you stop depending on heaven, you are not like Jesus. That's why Jesus will take himself aside and pray. He even went as far as saying, he said, what I hear the Father say is what I tell you. In other words, I do not lean on my own understanding. I lean on the understanding of heaven. What I hear the Father say is what I tell you. I do not lean on my own understanding. That's what Jesus said. I mean, there are many passages we can read there. If you stop depending on heaven for even the minutest things, then you got it wrong. But let me tell you something. When you depend on heaven, nobody can cut you off. Because if man blocks your way, God will do what? Will open another way because you depend on heaven. I don't depend on man. Particularly this work that we do, I don't. If you are doing well, I'll praise God, then I'll praise you just to motivate you and say, look, you're doing well. You know, I say it in church. Oh, this person is making sacrifice. Thank God for your life. Thank God. It does not mean that if you are not there, the work will not continue. The work will continue. And that should be our life too. It should be our lifestyle. That we depend on the resources of heaven. If we do, honestly, God can never fail you. Praise the Lord. Because where will you go? He knows you have nowhere you go. What did Peter say to him? He said, where will we go? When you have the word of eternal life, where else can I go? For me, I'm already caught in this. I've already burnt my bridges. I don't even have friends to run to. When we first started, I used to have people to talk to. I don't even have anyone to talk to anymore. I burnt all my bridges. Honestly, I burnt my bridges, so I have nowhere to run to. So I have to depend on heaven. Tell your friends, say, burn your bridges. Praise the Lord. Because I have no hope of going back to anyone, so I better stick to him. Because if he rejects me, where will I go? Praise the Lord. Jesus, I think we should stop there. Maybe we'll probably continue next week. Praise the Lord. Oh, can we just stand up and just praise God? We'll continue this next week. Because our time is going, let's just rise up. Let's thank God. Because once I start to enjoy it now, you know, I mean, just praise the Lord. Just begin to worship him. Just give him all the glory and say, Father, may I be like you. May I be like you. Take my life, oh God. Make it ever true. Take my life, oh God. May I be like you. Just speak to the Lord and say, Father, may I be like Jesus. May I be like Jesus. May I be like Jesus. Father, may I be like you. May I be like you. In all ways, in everything, may I be like you. Take my life, O Lord, use to your glory. Use me, make me an instrument of righteousness. May I be like you, Lord. May I be like you. Father, may I be like you. In all that I do, think, and say, may I be like you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, I thank you this morning because I have washed your children with the water of the word this morning. Therefore, every life that is under the sound of my voice this morning, daily, you will become more like Jesus in Jesus' name. All the characters and attributes of Jesus, you are going to manifest in the mighty name of Jesus. At the end of it all, your life will be pleasing to the Almighty God, and He will bless you in Jesus' name.